God, we ask you, help us draw near to you. Help us draw near to you, Lord, as we can in these last days and these perilous times. Lord, as we approach these days ahead of us, Lord, we must be close to you. We must be, Lord, putting away sin and every weight. We must be drawing near to you. We must hear your voice. We must be led by your Spirit, and we truly must, Lord, stand for you no matter what happens. And Lord, we thank you that by your name, by your power, by your blood that was shed, by your resurrection, Lord, we will stand against this evil tide, and we will let our light shine. We will let the truth shine, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our country. But Lord, we know we're headed into perilous times. So, Lord, we just pray for your grace. We pray for wisdom, understanding, discernment, that we would know what to do, no matter what the situation. And we pray it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. We'll welcome everyone. Fire and Grace Church this morning. Good to see you. Hey, way to start the new year out. I had a tough morning, nearly broke my ankle, but I'm better now. I made it. It's one of those ankle twists where you think you broke it, but then you just shake it off. Shake it off, right? hurts like you broke it, but you just shake it off and move on. I want everybody to turn this morning with me. We're going to go to Luke chapter 21. So many things going on now. I'm telling you, I almost feel like I can't even begin to approach it all. But I don't know, this morning praying and driving here during praise and worship, I just couldn't get away from this passage of Scripture. We're going to read a good bit of it here. In fact, we're going to read from verse 7. We're going to read down through this. And then we'll talk a little bit about where our country's headed. And it's not good. All right? Verse 7. This is Luke 21, verse 7. And they, being the disciples, asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? I'm talking about the end of the world, the end of the age. This is the mirror Luke's version of Matthew 24. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go you not after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. And this is something you need to let sink in. Commotions. Our country's about to be in a big commotion. Okay? He says, be not terrified. Let me just say right now that the biggest thing you're going to have to deal with in the days ahead is fear. And you're going to have to deal with fear. You're going to have to understand that fear is a spirit. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So it doesn't matter what you see going on around you, you better be binding, resisting, and rebuking the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, or you're going to be overwhelmed. Your heart will be overwhelmed. Last week I talked to you about a hardened heart. But I'm going to talk to you this week about being overwhelmed by what you see and allowing fear to overwhelm you. Don't do it. Okay? Because Jesus said, one of the things that happened, commotions. Now, it gets worse than that. All right? And I just want to say this morning as plain as I can say it. America as we have known it is over. No matter what happens this month, you understand, we're not, and we won't be going from this. There'll be no recovering from this. America will be permanently changed in the days ahead. And for some people, that's going to be absolutely terrifying. You hear me? That's why Jesus said here, what? Don't be terrified. Right? Notice the words he uses. But when you hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not yet. So wars and commotions. There's going to be some wars break out. Russia just tested a nuclear missile that can destroy Texas and can't be shot down. You understand that? We are in what Paul said the last days would be perilous times. You know what that's King James for? Big trouble. Dangerous. Commotions. But what does he say? Be not terrified. For the Christian, whether you live or whether you die, you're to be not terrified. Fear is not to be your Lord and Master. Jesus is your Lord and Master. And truly, let me tell you this. Fear is the opposite of faith. Faith means you are perfectly trusting in the Lord, whether you live or die. You're not concerned. And let me tell you something. Everybody's so concerned about living. You ought to understand, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said, I'd rather be absent from the body and be present with the Lord, but to remain here is more needful. So the Apostle Paul lived with a desire to be with Jesus, but understanding that it was more important for him to stay here as long as he could. But the Christian's not supposed to fear death. If you're fearful of death, I have to question whether you're born again. Because if you're truly born again and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you're walking in a relationship with Him, you're eternity-minded, not just earthly-minded. You understand that death is simply passing from this life into eternal life with Him. And the good news is that your body's going to be resurrected and made like His glorious body, and you're going to be with Him again, and we're going to be back here running the whole show again. So even our departure from this place through death will not be permanent. Our spirit and soul will go be with Him. At His second coming, our bodies will be resurrected, rejoined with our spirit and soul. And we will be like Him. The Bible says when we see Jesus, we're going to be like Him. Isn't that something? When we see Him in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. The mortal body is going to put on an immortal body. The corruptible body that can rot in the grave is going to put on an incorruptible body that will never decay or corrupt or even be capable of sin. So see, this is what I'm getting at today. Be not terrified. You hear me? What's the worst they can do? Kill you. Well, what does that do? Put you right with Jesus. And then you'll be back soon with Jesus. So you're just going to take a little vacation and come back. You hear me? But see, the problem is if you believe that, if you have faith in that, you're not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death. When I was in Nigeria that last time and the Muslims were taking over, and they detained me in the airport and held me about from noon till midnight. And then three soldiers come, Muslim Nigerian soldiers, mind you, and start walking me out into the darkness with AK-47s. And we walked for a long ways. I'm going to tell you right now, I thought, well, this could be it. Can I tell you I had perfect peace? I said, Lord, if this is it, I'm coming to be with you. And if it's not, something's going to happen. I didn't know where we were going. And then we walked into these open hangars, like airplane hangars. No, nothing in them. Like 2 football fields, 3 football fields long. Walk through there, go out the door, walk through another one. I'm like, good grief. Where are we going? But the whole time I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I'm telling you, I had perfect peace. No fear whatsoever. And finally, we walked out of the last building, the door opened, and there was a plane on the runway, KLM Dutch airplane, and I've told this before, but they escorted me to the steps and said, go. And I walked up the steps, and they put me in first class. And I flew to Amsterdam, and then I flew to New York, and then I flew to Atlanta. But I'm telling you, I was ready. See, if you're ready, there's no fear. If you know you're walking with Jesus, if you know you confessed your sins and you've repented of your sins and you love Jesus more than you love this world or you love your lust or money or whatever it is, if you know him, there is no fear. Remember, Psalm 91 says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. You understand? The arrows, you won't be afraid of the arrows that fly by day. You won't be afraid of those things. The mark of a Christian. Look, when John Wesley came over, you know, John Wesley thought he was saved. Let me just, this is something for somebody here today. There's a lot of people who think they're Christians because they have Christian beliefs or philosophy or creed, or they were raised Christian, or mom and daddy were Christians, or grandma, grandpa, or pawpaw, or mama were Christians. They took us to church, so I'm a Christian. John Wesley thought he was Christian. He even formed the Holy Club at Oxford, right? They thought they were holy Christians, too. Holy Club. Now, who would name a? We got the Holy Club over here. You know they're not Christian, because Christian knows when none of us holy, right? But he came over. He was so dedicated, thinking he was a Christian, that he came over to the territory at the time, wasn't even the state, the territory of Georgia, to be a missionary. And he was a miserable failure. You know why? Because to lead others to Jesus, you need to have the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit in you. And he didn't have that, but he was still trying to lead the Native Americans there in Georgia territory to Jesus, and he couldn't do it. How come? Because he didn't know Jesus. He wasn't born again. So he gets back on this 1735 time period. He gets back on the ship to go back to England, a miserable failure, wondering, why? I don't understand why this is not working. But he meets on the ship some Moravian Christians, and they're born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, praying 24 hours a day, crazy Christians, selling themselves into slavery so they could be a witness to slaves. We're talking about radical Christians, right? I think their leader was, what was his name? Count Ludwig von Zinzendorf. But they had a prayer meeting there before. This is the Moravians. They had a prayer meeting that went 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 100 years. And so Wesley encounters these people, and they get in a bad storm. In the Atlantic, bad. Looks like the ship's going to break up. Looks like it's going to sink. He's terrified of the thought of dying. The Moravian Christians who were born again, who knew Jesus for real, were singing and rejoicing. His mind was blown. He's like, something's wrong with me. They have something I don't have. When he got back to England, he went to their Bible study. And that's where he was truly born again. The Bible says that's where he understood what it meant to be born again by faith in Jesus Christ. He felt his heart strangely warmed. He had a spiritual experience called being born again. And that's when he was saved. But a lot of people would think, my God, anybody called himself a Christian would risk their life to travel the Atlantic in 1735, 34 to be a missionary, truly a Christian. Nope. Jesus said, unless a man's born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. So, Pastor Dean, how are you born again? Well, you get born again when you totally surrender all of your life, all of your will, all of your plans, all of your sins. You're ready to give up everything. You want no more part of this world's system. You want Jesus and Jesus alone. and you will let nothing stop you from drawing near to him. You will let nothing stop you from obeying him. Not fear, not money, not a job. There are no idols. Jesus becomes Lord, and when you make that decision for real, not deceiving yourself, lying to yourself, when you make that decision, I promise you, you will have a supernatural experience with the Lord called being born again. And if you haven't had that, you better have it. I can't do it for you. Paul can't do it for you. Mama can't do it for you. You have to do it. So, Pastor Dean, I don't know if I've had that experience. I've had people even recently tell me. They've gone to church for years. But they're still living in sin. They're still struggling with horrible sin. Still struggling with drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality. And you're like, and you sit down with them and you finally find out, have you ever had that moment where Jesus became Lord of your life? I'm not talking about you went down to an altar and prayed with the preacher. You said a sinner's prayer. That's not always going to do it. See, the problem is that the preachers didn't define that praying that sinner's prayer means you're giving up everything. You're giving up your sin. You're giving up your life. You're giving up your will. You're giving up your plans. See, when I understood that, I left. I left my plans of going to college, playing football, being a model that I was already doing it, going into the movies, going to Hollywood. Once I came into contact with Jesus, it was, Lord, what will you have me to do? And I knew I wasn't going back to college, not back to Troy State anyway. I knew that was over. I knew I wasn't going back to drugs and alcohol and sexual sin. I knew that was it. That was over. We're done. I knew. I didn't even call the modeling agency back. The last phone call we had is, we have you a part in Die Hard 1. We got to get you to Hollywood. That's the last phone call. I didn't even call them back. I'm done. I'm like, I can't be. I mean, the moment I understood what it meant to make Jesus Lord, I knew there was no way I was going to be in soap operas and movies. My first screen test was For All My Children, One Life to Live, you know, As the World Turns, the whole thing. I mean, I was about to do all that stuff. And I'm like, there ain't no way I could be a Christian and go be in a soap opera? Yeah, the money's good, but it's all about adultery and fornication. And how you be a Christian, dude? So I knew, you leave all that. And I don't know why the Lord's want me to get on that today, but this is, so many people are not born again. And here we are at the last of the last days. And they think as they go to church or they try to be good, Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. So if you're born again, though, let me tell you, if you know you're born again, if you know Jesus has come in you and changed you and you felt his presence and you know you're saved, and you want him more than you want anything else in this world, then you have no business being terrified at commotions, wars, nations collapsing, COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-21, whatever else they're going to bring forth. You have no business. Fear not. Jesus said this in Luke 12. He said, fear not those who can kill the body, but fear him who's after he's killed the body has the power to put you in hell. That's Jesus' words. Jesus was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. In fact, he taught more about hell than anybody else in the New Testament. That proves to you love wants to keep you from going there. And ignoring it doesn't keep you from going there. Be not terrified. Now, I know it was a long introduction, but hey. Had to do it. Shorter than my last introduction. He said, let's go back to verse 9. But when you hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by, or the end is not yet. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Folks, I want to tell you this is happening right now. How many of you know who Jason A. is? Y'all ever watch any Jason A. videos? Just watched a few this week. I love how he just goes from one news clip to the next, kind of. Usually that's his videos, just one news story after another. Guess what they all were this week? Earthquakes everywhere. Volcanoes erupting everywhere. And weird lights in the sky. Everybody see the video of the blue light going down into the Pacific Ocean? What's interesting, they said it was a blue, and I saw it, like a blue cylinder. I was like, that's just what Zechariah said. The flying scrolls. He said, this is a curse that's going to be in the whole earth. The alien deception's coming, y'all. Just hang on. See, everybody's saying, oh, I'm so glad 2020 is over. 2021 is going to be better. No, it's not. No, we don't go up from here. Everything goes down from here. I mean, I know you. I wish I could tell you everything's going to be wonderful in 2021. No. We're told that it's going to get worse and worse, like birth pains. Ladies, it's had children. Do your birth pains get easier as they go along? No, they get more intense and quicker, faster, right? Until the most painful moment. No, from here on out, folks, I hate to inform you, it gets worse. Spoiler alert, right? Everybody's like, 2021 is going to be wonderful. No, no, no. The aliens are coming. My favorite meme, I got two little aliens, you know, on the meme, and they go, why you call us demons? That's racist. You know, Aleister Crowley, the beast, the most satanic, evil man of our time, he said, well, now they call them angels and demons. Later on, they're going to call them something else. And he knew that the fallen angels and the demons are going to masquerade as aliens from other dimensions and solar systems and galaxy far, far away and all that nonsense. No, they're with us. They've always been with us. They've been known by different names throughout the ages. The latest name, the demons and the fallen angels, are going to go by is aliens. And they're coming. And all these lights in the skies and these cylinders in the skies and these cigar shapes and these weird things that fighter pilots are chasing. Yes, yeah, soon they're going to tell you, we're here. Mark it down. Mark it down. World leaders are going to march them out. Go, we've had treaties with them. They've been in our underground bunkers, y'all. Y'all just don't understand. The deep state, the satanic Luciferians that are in power, the elite of the world, are in league with the fallen angels, the demons, and the Nephilim. And they're the ones orchestrating this world. You understand? They created COVID-19 in a laboratory, and they released it on purpose. You say, what human would do that? Humans don't do those things. Only humans possessed and in league with them do those things. You think about it. Just remember, we've had our Lenin and Stalin and Mao and Hitler. That's not normal to kill millions of people. How is that normal? Let me tell you something. I'm a hunter. I would hunt. I don't get time to do it, but I don't care. I would go kill something. I have plenty of guns and spears now and crossbows and all kinds of stuff. I can kill stuff, right? And I don't mind killing something to eat. But you know something? When I kill something, I don't even feel good about killing an animal, but I'll do it. How could somebody be okay with just killing hundreds of thousands, millions of people, trying to exterminate a race of people? That's why Jesus said a murderer does not have eternal life in them. There's no way. If you can do that, something is wrong with you. You are of Satan, the evil one. You hear me? So you got to understand, all this stuff's coming. So he said there's going to be these fearful sights and great signs from the heavens. It's going to be the UFOs are coming. And that's it. Listen, it's in Zechariah 5. In fact, let's turn there real quick. This is really not my message this morning, but I knew this was going to come up. I want to show you, because some of you are new here. Zechariah 5. I'm going to show you how UFOs were foretold in the Bible, 2,600 years ago. Let me show you. Zechariah 5, verse 1. Let's read it real quick. Here we go. So this is a vision that God has given Zechariah. It's about the last days, and let's read it. He says, "Then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll." If you look up roll in the Hebrew, it is scroll. If you look at a scroll, what is a scroll? A scroll is a cylinder-like, long, narrow object, like a cigar, right, shape. But he says a flying one. Now think about that. A flying cylinder is what he's saying. I see a flying cylinder. Let's keep going. "And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll or a flying scroll. The length thereof is 20 cubits and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Well, that is, the length would be about, let's see, that's about 30 feet by 15 feet. So it's 15 feet. So this ceiling is maybe about 10 feet. So it's about 15 feet wide, 30 feet long, flying in the air. Guess what? We have pictures of that all over the world. And I believe it's demonic, satanic signs and wonders in the heavens. Let's keep reading, though. "Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth." So this is a curse. What is a curse? Something bad, something from the devil, something that will deceive you, harm you, lead you astray. He said, "This is the curse that's showing up over the whole earth." Guess what? I got pictures when I did this video several years ago. I mean, in China, all over America, in Europe, everywhere these things are appearing. Right? The first picture of one looks like a cigar in the sky from the 1800s. All right? He says, "This is the curse that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off, as on this side according to it, and everyone that swears shall be cut off on that side." Meaning, basically, those who sin and live in sin will be deceived by this. They'll be cursed by this. It'll cause them to be cut off from God. You hear me? Listen, I know a lot of people that when the UFOs and the aliens show up are going to turn away from God. All right? Look, there are Vatican officials. What's his name? Tanziti, who's a Vatican, he's a professor at Vatican University. He said, when the aliens show up, we're going to have to review the gospel. One of the most prolific, one of the biggest, what's his name? The Jesuit, MIT, Guy Consolmagno. He said, the days are coming, the world will look to the aliens as their saviors. These are Vatican, high-level Vatican officials. MIT, taught at Harvard, right? But we were warned. If you're living in sin, you're going to be deceived by this. Let's keep going. He says, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord, meaning basically he will allow it. And this is part of what I believe is 2 Thessalonians 2, when God says that he's going to send a strong delusion that those who have pleasure in unrighteousness will believe a lie. He's going to allow a strong delusion. I believe the strong delusion is going to be this alien thing. He says, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord, and it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. Guess what? That's people claiming to be Christian who aren't really living the life. And he says, it shall remain in the midst of the house and shall consume it. Basically, it's going to destroy those who accept it. Like I said, there's more people in England right now, in the UK, that believe in aliens than believe in God. So this is where we are. This is one of the great deceptions that's coming. Now let's go back to Luke 21. Somebody needed that one. I'm going somewhere, I promise. We're going to read for a minute. I won't stop. I'll try. Verse 11, a great earthquake shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences or plagues, which now we have this COVID-19 plague, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay hands on you and shall persecute you, delivering you up into the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now, let's stop right there. I got to stop. I forgot. Because I got to read something to you. Let me back up here. How many of you know, I remember I did my first sermon on the FEMA camps in May of 2010, 11 years ago or about to be. Think about that. All the documentation, I still have it. It's called Endgame. And I give you all the documentation. Even the documentation from a Georgia House bill on guillotines being used. That has since been removed, but Screenshot Ministry got it. All right? I still have it. I save stuff because I know it'll disappear or be changed. Like a lot of my government documents stuff, yeah, they're gone. The links are gone. From the Army Research Laboratory just took the whole thing down, the whole pages just. You get the 404 message, right? He says, but before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you. Well, guess what New York just did? Anybody know? Here it is. New York State Assembly is already pushing legislation supporting internment camps because of COVID. This bill states removal and detention of cases, contacts, and carriers who are maybe danger to public health orders. It just goes on down. You can read the whole thing. Those who may be endangered or a suspected case, they may order the removal and or detention of such a person or a group of such persons by issuing a single order. Such a person or group person shall be detained in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premises designated by the governor or his or her delegee. This is a legislation to be passed to, if you are suspected of being infected with COVID, they can come get you and take you to a hospital or another facility to detain you. Now, let me ask you something. If you have COVID tests that are already contaminated with COVID, that's already been confirmed, then they could give COVID to anybody they want to. Therefore, if they can give COVID to anybody they want to, that means they can detain anybody that wants to. Now, let me ask you something. If Biden and Harris get control and the communists get control of our country, who do you think's going to get detained? I've been talking about this over 10 years. Here it is in New York. And who's going to be in charge of it? The governor. I've been telling people, better rethink it. We think the federal government's the one that has the power. Oh, no, it's the state government. But he says they're going to bring you and detain you and put you in prison. Now let's keep going. Verse 13, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. He says, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, but I will give you a mouth and a wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. This is in the red. Parents are going to turn against their children. Children are going to turn against their parents. This is already happening. Ooh, if they think they're transgender and you dare try to tell them that's wrong, parents going to jail. I got an email from a guy. He spanked his son. His son said, told the school my dad was mean to me. He got put in jail. This is where we are. Let's keep going. Verse 17, you should be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish, and your patience possess ye your souls. What is patience? You endure the suffering without complaining, without backsliding, without getting offended with God. Let's keep going. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed or surrounded with armies, then you know the desolation thereof is nigh. Things are getting intense right now between Iran and Israel. That's probably going to be the spark. He goes on to say, then let them which are in Judea, which that is the West Bank area, flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them enter the countries thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance. These are the days of vengeance. Notice, and he says this, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Y'all hear that? When you see these things, you are in the days where all things written in the Bible, the hundreds and hundreds of end time prophecies, are going to come to pass. They're going to happen. We are living there. Everything written is going to be fulfilled in our lifetime. Soon you will see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. I was praying this morning, the Lord told me, I said, Lord, what about Russia? When I saw about that nuclear missile, you know what he told me? He said, when Russia starts this, they're going to be severely judged. And I remembered about when Ezekiel 38 and 39, when Russia moves against Israel, it says God himself rains down fire upon them and leaves but 1/6 of them. Russia's headed for a major judgment when they make their move to do these things. Let's keep going. Y'all don't mind this, do you? It's only 11:40. We're doing good. But he says, when you see these things, know the desolation, the total destruction. These are the days of vengeance. And then verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land. Great distress and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There's going to be war. Israel's going to be invaded, particularly from the east and from the north and possibly from the south. But here's what I want to get at. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Signs. Didn't we just see one of those? There was another one in 2017. We're going to start seeing the stars do some strange things. You're going to see the moon do some strange things. You're going to see the sun do some strange things. Get ready. You're going to see it. There should be signs of the sun, the moon, the stars. Now listen to this. And upon the earth, hear this loud, hear what I'm saying right here. Hear this. This is Jesus talking. He said, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. Do you hear this? Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So before Jesus comes, and we're going to read these next two verses, it says, "And then they shall see the Son of Man," that is Jesus, "coming in the cloud with power and great glory." And he says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." But what does he say here? There's going to be nations in distress with perplexity. What is perplexity? Confusion. Nations in distress. Can I tell you right now, the United States of America will not escape this distress. We will not escape this time of distress or perplexity. And in fact, it may start this month. Because no matter what Trump does, no matter what they do about this election fraud, if they walk away and do nothing, the red states will begin to secede from the Union. If Trump proves the election fraud in Congress and Trump is reinstated as president, according to the Constitution, there's going to be civil war. Hear what I'm saying. Regardless of whether Trump stays or Trump goes, there will be civil war in America. Our nation will be divided into two separate countries. As I've told you already, we will be invaded because the allies of the communist traitors we have in this country, they're working with China, they're working with Trudeau in Canada, they're working with groups and cells in Mexico. We will be invaded. I'm telling you right now, I'm just telling you, the America that you have known your whole life is over. So brace yourself. Or as I love to say, mean that buckle up, buttercup, because the ride's about to get bumpy. But what I'm telling you, and one of the reasons I've been saying all this for so many years again and again and again, but even now, I mean, I said in 2008, you can ask my wife, 2008, I said, our country's going to be divided like during the Civil War. That was 12 years ago. Well, 13 years ago now. Country's going to be divided. I knew it by the Spirit, but now I can see how it's going to happen. Back then, I didn't know exactly how it was going to happen, but you can see how it's going to happen now. Listen, we have two extreme sides now. There is no reconciliation. We have communists, and we have people who love the Constitution and freedom and the principles of America, and they love the country, and there's people who are for the New World Order to make the United Nations a world government. And there's no in-between, except for, well, I'll say this. There's the stupid people who keep listening to CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. They watch TV, and that's what they're ruled by. I was just looking, you know, Tommy Tuberville, thank God that our newest senator is going to take a stand and protest this fraudulent election and all the election fraud and all the... And see, I know where to go to get my news. I don't watch CNN. I can't even listen to it for a minute. I start to throw up. And Fox just makes me angry. Right? Because they're worse. Because they pretend to be conservative. So I get my news. Hey, if you want to know where you get your news from, look, every day he puts out a video, our whole family sits down, that's our news. Proud every other day, but and we know. AUK News, and we know. OLT, former Marine, Christian. He's the one that puts what the news won't put on. He's put the videos up of the Georgia Senate hearing, where all the election fraud has been laid out by Giuliani, by eyewitnesses. Do y'all know the latest one? The latest one is the Senate hearing the other day after hearing Jovan Pulitzer explain how the machines were hacked, and then he hacked them in real time. After that, they ordered the ballots.
No, they ordered. He ordered the Senate Judiciary Committee. They ordered the ballots to be confiscated, and somebody else ordered trucks to go shred them. This is not going to see. This is what I'm telling you. This is not going to stand. Have you seen that on CNN? No. You never will. But a woman heard that she was a poll watcher. She heard they were shredding the stuff. She went over there with her phone and videoed the shred trucks and them rolling the ballots out to shred them. Because what they were doing, they had different ballots. One for Republicans had a barcode on it. The Democrats didn't have a barcode, so they could keep running the same ballots over and over and over again. And they got them on video, running the same ballots over and over. We have video evidence of this. And what does the news say? There's no election fraud. What is your Facebook fact checkers? There's no evidence of election fraud. It's all over the place. So what I'm saying to you is the 80 million or 100 million people that voted for Trump aren't going to take this. And I promise you, if I become governor, Alabama will not recognize Joe Biden as president of the United States. No. He said, we're coming to get your AR-15s. No, you're not. Because we have the Alabama National Guard, the Alabama Defense Force, and I'm going to create a new militia. No, we will fight Joe Biden. Well, a long time ago, somebody said they heard somebody say that a politician years ago was a New World Order policy. Said, we're just going to have to carpet bomb Alabama because they're never going to go along with it. If I'm governor, good luck. Because we will shoot you down. This is what it's come to, y'all. We laugh. But let me read something in the Declaration of Independence, just real quick. Y'all don't mind this, do you? Declaration of Independence. We forget. Because I really believe, you know where we're at here? We're at 1776, part two, is where we are. And if Biden is allowed to take office, it's it. That's it. True Americans, patriots, conservatives, and mostly Christians, no. We're done. And you know what? The Declaration of Independence actually says exactly that. Let me read it to you. We forget our foundation. This is actually what's called our organic law. It is really our country's first law. Let's read it. Y'all don't mind a little, if I can ever get my phone to. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among them the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station in which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separation. He goes on, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life? You don't have the right to tell me to take a vaccine that might kill me. You don't have a right to tell me I can't leave my house or I can't go to church. You hear me? And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Meaning we have to consent to it, or there is no government. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Can I stop there for a minute? Whenever the government, he says, whenever any government begins to destroy, hinder, take these rights from you, your inalienable rights, what's in our Bill of Rights? Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to bear arms. All these rights that we have, he said, are not from the government. They're from God, right? He says, when any government becomes destructive of these rights, it is the right of the people. Do you hear that? It is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem likely to affect their safety and happiness. You're not going to come take my guns. My guns are how I protect my family, provide for my family, and protect myself from tyranny. You don't get to come take them. That's why I'm telling you, if this is fraud is allowed to stand, there's over 100 million Americans that are saying, that's it. Declaration of Independence, part two. 1776 again. It will happen. And it will not happen peacefully. You understand? This distress of nations, this perplexity is coming to America soon. You think the riots and the stuff that happened with Antifa and Black Lives Matter? Oh, boy. So the word distress of nations, my wife looked it up, means restraint of nations. Oh, boy. Restraint defined is a measure or condition that keeps someone or something under control. Can I just tell you, it's all about wanting to control you. The United Nations Agenda 2030, I was rereading that this morning. They've implemented most of it here already. They want Trump out because Trump went to the United Nations, what, a year or two ago, and told them where they could stick it. He said, America will always be a sovereign nation. That was slapping them in the face. But see, what troubles me is, I was going to say this a minute ago, our newest senator, Tommy Tuberville, is standing up for this. And he issued his letter, you know, his declaration, basically press release, letting people know he was going to oppose. And listen, there's a lot of senators and there's a lot of congressmen, probably more than ever in history, going to be standing up against this fraudulent election. But I read the comments under of people. And both Republican and Democrats, because they watch the news, are clueless. They actually think there's no election fraud because they don't look at anything beyond CNN. And I thought, wow, we're in trouble. Because the same people that want the United Nations to become the world government and the United States to be subdued and controlled and give up our sovereignty and our weapons, that whole group, they own CNN and MSNBC and all these little magazines. You hear what I'm saying? What is it? Five companies? Where is it? Five, six companies own all of them? Look, the big stink. Here's the hypocrisy, y'all. The big stink, right, in 2016. The Democrat, Russia interfered in our election. Well, guess what? Google, Facebook, Twitter interfered in this election. All for Biden. On that alone, we have a fraudulent election. And guess what? The Constitution, though, has a provision if we have a fraudulent election. It's thrown to the House of Representatives. But let me tell you something. If we do what the Constitution says, we still got half the country who are a bunch of idiots that don't know it or don't care. They don't know or don't care. And either way, useful idiots. And that's why, you know who's going to have, probably who's going to have the most blood on their hands in this civil war is going to be the media. The lying, fake news media. The lying communist, China communist-owned media. The UN, George Soros, New World Order media. Can
Communism. It's communism. It's that spirit versus freedom. You know, we sang that song a minute ago. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The problem is, see, look, we know it. For the most part, America has become wicked, even in the church. So what happens when a nation becomes wicked? Spirit of the Lord leaves. Well, if the, where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. When the spirit of the Lord leaves, what happens? Tyranny. Every single time. And there's evil, demon-possessed men and women ready for what they call population control. It used to be called genocide or mass murder. Say, Pastor Dean, it's just too much. Well, guess what? I don't watch your TV news shows. I read the Bible, I study history, and I listen to what these people say out of their mouths. Just because you don't doesn't mean I don't know. Listen, it's not a conspiracy theory because you don't know about it. When they tell you, like Bill Gates, we want to lower the population of the world through vaccines. He said it. I believe it. I heard it, recorded it, saved it. Yeah. I was reading some more world leaders, the Luciferian Satanists out there, talking about how they want to start World War III so they can lower the population of the world. They want the war. They want to get rid of you. And they want the armies buying their bullets and bombs. Which is why they start these wars. And you know, isn't it amazing that the left, hey, hate Trump. He hadn't taken us into a war. Every other president. That's the way you do it. Let me tell you something. Brother, if I was president, that Iranian leader threatening me, you better be careful where you sleep, son. You don't threaten the president of the United States. Not if he's a cowboy or an Alabama or Trump. You know, be humble and carry a big stick. I think I remember that. Right? We're not going to escape this. So what I'm saying is, you've been warned, it's been explained to you, you see it happening. I'm just telling you, don't be afraid. If anything, when you see these things, when the distress, the wars, the perplexity, the commotions, the invasions, the tumult that's about to happen in Washington, D.C., when you see these things, don't get in fear. Get on your knees and pray. And then be bold. See, we're not, I'm telling you, the Lord told me this. You have to decide for yourself. But I ain't running. The Lord told me to stand my ground. I will not run. I will not hide. I'm not bugging out. Why? Because we got a message to preach. Can't do that hiding in the woods. So I'm not saying, you know, Jesus did say if they persecute you in this city, flee to another. Sometimes it's right to flee. I understand that. There's some people in the northern states that need to flee. Need to flee California. Of course, you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying, there's people fleeing. I mean, they can't even get moving trucks in California because so many people are fleeing. But you have to make up your mind. What am I going to do? Am I going to be fearful? Am I going to? And let me tell you, he says, men's hearts will fail them for fear. What does that mean?
People are going to get so stressed out and so fearful and so full of anxiety and stress, they're going to die from heart attacks. Don't let it happen to you. Look, I know 30-somethings and 40-somethings that's had heart attacks from stress and fear and anxiety or something bad happening. That's why Jesus warned about this. Do not be terrified when you see these things. They're going to happen. Not pleasant to hear that. These are Jesus' words, not mine. But don't be terrified. Well, what if I die? Well, you better be ready to die. My wife asked somebody the other day in our family, do you know where you'd go if you die? The answer was, I don't know. That's not the answer. That's not the answer you better have. You better know. And the only Savior, the only way to be forgiven, the only way you can be born again, the only true God who died for your sin, you must give your life to Him. You must know Him. And His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you better know Him, or there is no eternal life for you. There is no other way. There's no, if I'm good enough, my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds, and I'm going to go, no, no, no. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is nothing, there is no good deed you can do that can wash your sins away. Only the blood of Jesus, and you have to accept that, believe that, ask for that blood, that living eternal blood of Jesus to wash your sins away, or you cannot be saved, you cannot be born again. The Bible says you must believe He is Lord God, the Creator, the one who died for your sins and rose from the dead on the third day, and that He is the only way to eternal life. The only way to escape what we deserve. And if you walk around thinking you don't deserve to go to hell, if you've been a wicked sinner and you don't deserve to go to hell, then your mind's not right anyway. Because you know what? The humble person goes, you know what? I have been a sinner. I have been a rebel. I have been wicked, worldly. I have wanted all the things that the devil offers. I've wanted all those things. I've chased those things instead of chasing after God. We all deserve to go to hell because we have committed crimes against God and man. But the only way to be forgiven is not Muhammad, Buddha, chanting, visualization, astral projection, all that stuff in witchcraft and the New Age, none of that will save you. Not conjuring up a vision of Jesus in your own mind and imagination. It's believing the Word of God. It better be the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of Deepak Chopra or Oprah Winfrey. They got a different Jesus. They talk about the third Jesus. No, there's one Jesus. And He's the Jesus who created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Messiah, one Savior, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one. Yes, He has three distinct parts, but He's one. You know, in the Old Testament, Isaiah, when he says, Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, says, I am the first and the last. And then Jesus appears to John on the Isle of Patmos and says, I am the first and the last. That's all I need to know. Right? One and the same. He has many names, but the name above every name is the name of Jesus. Or Jesus. Or Yeshua, depending on what country you live in. But here in America, in English, it's Jesus. All right? And I've seen people saved in that name, healed in that name,
Delivered from demons in that name. Addictions broken. Stage 4 cancer disappear. Deaf hear. Cripple walk. The name of Jesus is still the same. The true Jesus. The true Jesus. If it's a Jesus any different than what the Bible describes him, then it's not Jesus. And the Bible warned us. Paul said there's going to be people come, they're going to preach another Jesus, another gospel. But we don't do that. We're about the Jesus of the Bible said there's a heaven and there's a hell. And Jesus said, I came to call sinners to repentance. He said, I came to seek and save that which is lost, but I came to call them to repentance. Repentance means feel the guilt, accept the guilt of your sin, ask him for forgiveness, and be willing to turn away from it. That's repentance. And Jesus told them, if you don't repent, you will perish. God is not willing that anyone perish, but that all come to repentance. You won't hear that in any mega church in the country. Because they want to keep you. They got to keep the big building. So they can't tell you you got to repent. But they'll sure do a month on tithing. A month of sermons on tithing. They need a year of sermons on repentance. Let's stand this morning. I want to do Lindell's song, Have Mercy, this morning, because that's what we need to pray. If you need repentance this morning, you're here, you're watching out there. It's a simple decision. If you're ready to give up your sin, your rebellion, your own plans, then you're ready to say, Jesus, forgive me. From this point on, I'm turning from that. I'm going to follow you. And you start to seek him. That's when you're going to be born again. Or that's when you're going to come out of the pig pen. And we were talking about it last night. Everybody, you know, the prodigal son, he left his father's house. And it says he went and spent his father's living, riotous living. Harlots, ended up working in a pig pen. Not a good place for a Jew. But what the father? Did the father go and wallow in the pig pen with him and say, I love you just the way you are? The father didn't chase him. No, the father said, my son is lost. My son is dead. He's talking about spiritually lost, spiritually dead. But when it says when the young man came to himself, when he understood that his sin had brought him down into that low place and was destroying him, and it separated him from his father, his father's house, and his father's love, and his father's provision, when he finally realized, you know what? It was better there. Sometimes hard heads got to learn the hard way. But when he left the pig pen, humble, and went home and said, forgive me, I've sinned against you, I've sinned against heaven, he was forgiven. But see, that's repentance. When you leave the pig pen, you got to leave adultery, you got to leave premarital sex, you got to leave drugs, you got to leave alcohol, you got to leave pornography, you got to leave idolatry. You have to leave it and go home to Jesus all the way. And this is what's not taught anymore, that you actually have to go home. And when he went home, that's repentance. When he went home, he said, my son that was dead is now alive. My son that was lost is now found. The thing about the story I love is the father never moved. He never moved. The people, the son, had to decide, I'm coming home. You hear me? I'm giving up. I'm giving up. I screwed it up, everything up. I was wrong. I was wrong. Yeah. It's hard for us to admit that, isn't it? I blew it.
But you know what's so wonderful about that story is when he went home and he said, I blew it, Father. His father said, come on here, son. Kill the fatted calf. Put my ring on. Give him a robe. Let's have a party. He wasn't angry. He was excited. My son came home. That's what God is. He just wants you to come home. Because that world out there doesn't love you. Remember all his friends that loved him while he had money? And when he ran out of money, everybody was gone. He was having to eat pig slop. Isn't that something? You know that's the way the world is, right? They'll love you for a while. Let's do that song, Have Mercy. That's it. And we need to pray this for our nation.
In peace we come to pray and to seek the Lord today for salvation from his hand, for the healing of our land. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For we have placed all our sin we repent, oh Lord. We believe your holy words. Have mercy now, we pray, and take all our sin away. Kyrie. Mercy, love.
your glory, Lord. Send your power, Lord. Let revival fall on this earth, Lord. Revival, Jesus. Oh, our only hope is you, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. For we have laid.
Lord, we pray. We pray for our country.
Jesus.
We pray for your mercy. We need you. We're going to do one more song here. But I just feel like we need to worship and we need to hear this song about being forgiven. But we pray, Lord. We pray for our families. We pray for those around us that are prodigals and living in the pig pen. And Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, you'll convict them and awaken them and they'll come to their senses and come home. We pray that real repentance will be granted to people, Lord. They'll be able to understand repentance and surrender to your lordship and really give you all of their lives. Lord, we pray that revival will come even in the midst of the judgment and the wrath and the commotions and the distress and the perplexity. We know you're going to pour out your spirit because you said in the last days you're going to pour out your spirit on all flesh. So we believe you're going to move in a mighty way in the midst of all of that. So, Lord, we worship you today in Jesus' name. One more song. Let's do this one. Because I believe it's a year for prodigals to return. Amen. Some of them are going to be shaken, finally shaken up by what they see in the world. They're going to come home.
Time to get strong, then he picked me up, and show me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing.
Y'all didn't sing it. Let me tell you something. If you're born again and you know your sins are forgiven, this ought to be one of the most joyful songs that you've ever heard. But if not, it's time to give it to the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. If we turn from our sins, he will wash them away. If you haven't done that, this song doesn't mean anything yet. But if you've done it, that's why we're going out on a joyful note, all right? Let's be joyful. Are your sins forgiven? Amen. Have you been washed in the blood? Yes. All right. Then sing it like you have been. I want to hear you above the music. Let's do it this morning. One more time.
Hey!
Nothing better. Nothing better. Woo! Hope in this life and in the life to come. Amen. All right. Y'all know the rule around here. Hug some necks before you leave. Are we